You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Space Floor NBA Podcast. My name is Connor Gielen.
And I'm Connor Flannery.
This is our 18th official episode. There is a 7.5 game difference between the first seeded Nuggets and the 14th seeded Timberwolves in the Western Conference. It's so tight. I want to talk about this. We're going to focus on mainly this, and I guess we'll get into the Eastern Conference too if you want.
Yeah. I mean, 30 games in, this is a serious playoff race, right?
Every team has played at least 29 to 33 games, I believe.
Yeah.
And especially in the West, we have the top three teams are separated by a game. The 11th seeded Kings are 5.5 games back of first place. And obviously, like, this isn't how it's going to be for the rest of the season, because it's only 30 games in.
Yeah, I mean, the difference will spread out.
But in past seasons, you see that, like, it's more spread out.
Right now, there's really only one team in the West that is out of playoff contention, and that's the Phoenix Suns, right?
They're 8-24.
The 14th-seeded Minnesota Timberwolves are 14-17. Most usually, you know, I guess the cutoff you would assume would be about, you know, teams that are like 500. So teams that are winning like half their games.
Keep in mind, the Timberwolves are 14-17. The Orlando Magic are 14-16 and are the 8th seed in the East.
Yeah. So that just shows like how tight the West is.
Yeah.
Right?
And also just, I thought the East-West kind of disparity was going to be over. And I think it kind of is in terms of the top of the conference.
Yeah.
We'll get into that later. But the East has
the
five.
The top of the East is very strong this year.
It is. But then again, after five, you have like teams like the the Pistons are good. After six, you have like teams like the Hornets, the Magic, the Nets, the Heat that are there.
And while those teams are like top heavy and have you know, like maybe one or two players that are winning them games, they're not going to be very strong playoff teams because of that.
And I heard a lecture from Steven Rosenberry, who was a former college player, one of the best shooters in the country, and now he's the assistant GM for a couple years for the Portland Trail Blazers, and he said that the Eastern Conference, Western Conference disadvantage is horrible. And obviously, like, he's with the Trail Blazers, so they like hate that.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of stuck in the middle of the West when they would be more upper tier in the East. And he said that everyone around the league knows that if they had a vote, you need like a 2/3 vote to change it or whatever in like the league meetings. But if you had a vote of East-West, like get rid of the conferences for the playoffs, there would be 15 yeses and 15 noes. That's what he said. Like 15 noes from the east, and 15 yeses from the West.
It makes sense.
Yeah, because 14 teams right now, I would say, are playing like playoff teams in the East.
In the West, there are 14 teams that are playing
if they were in the East, they would be playing like a playoff team.
I don't
know if they would end up with the playoffs. Like, we'll talk about the Kings. We'll talk about the Grizzlies.
What we're trying to say is that the West, it really basically everybody outside of the Suns is putting together a pretty solid number of wins. Like, there's outside of the Suns in the West, there's really no teams that are really trying to tank or anything. You know? Like, and for a season that we thought would be pretty much dominated by the Warriors, and that the Warriors would basically just stroll to the, you know, to the championship, which they still might do in the playoffs. It's actually been a competitive regular season thus far, which I think is very exciting. And it'll be interesting to see sort of how the conferences end up and shape up and sort of who makes the playoffs, who doesn't, how this playoff race ends up, because maybe the playoffs themselves, as we get down closer, if no team can match the Warriors, at least the end of the regular season will be very competitive.
For reference, we're recording this on Thursday, December 20th, and the standings, just for reference, goes Nuggets, Thunder, Warriors, Lakers, Trailblazers, Clippers, Rockets, Spurs, Mavericks, Grizzlies, Kings, Jazz, Pelicans, Timberwolves, Suns. Out of those teams, which do you think will kind of, within the next like 20 or so games, just kind of fall out of this like very, very close bunch? 20 or 30 games.
I don't know. It's hard for me to say, because all of these teams are playing very, very well and have shown flashes and at least signs again, if a in team their
is,
wins.
Then again, if a team is overachieving,
yeah,
do you think they could fall back
down to earth? Yeah. So, like, I would say that, like, the Trailblazers heading into the season, we would not have expected to be the fifth seed at this point.
They are 18 and 13, but they were like the one seed with the Clippers for a little bit.
Yeah,
but they're 5-5 in their last 10, which is meh.
Exactly. So because the Trailblazers are falling back down to earth a little bit, I don't think that they will finish the season as a top 5 seed in the West.
Okay.
Will they still stay in the playoffs? I think probably, but if I was to guess. It would probably be lower seed.
This episode, we're not like rank. We're not predicting the seeds in the playoffs.
So hard to do at this point.
We're analyzing the Western Conference, just seeing who will drop, mm-hmm. who will stay, and with a conference that has 13 playoff caliber teams, so, like, just try to make sense of that.
Yeah, because I think the Trailblazers we will continue to see the Trailblazers be a very solid, but despite the Trailblazers not really having had any success in the playoffs with their backcourt of Dame and CJ, we will continue to see them be a team that makes the playoffs and is pretty solid. Like you said, in the West, they've sort of been a mid-tier team for a long time. Now, they could have been higher in the East, but I think we'll continue to see that this year, where they won't be like a top five seed, but they will sort of continue to like hang on to playoff hopes, unless they make like some big move towards the trade deadline.
I don't think they have the roster and the salary cap to do that. The thing is, I think this team, I didn't even realize it, but I guess you're right, that they could somehow, if their role players just kind of decline over the course of the season, they could definitely fall, which I don't want, because the Trailblazers are kind of like my second or third team, because I just love Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard's so fun to watch. I love him so much.
But because the reason why they were like so amazing at the beginning of the season is because they were actually getting very good production out of Evan Turner.
Yeah.
Out of all their like good, solid role players, Zach Collins, Nurkic was being Nurkic. Lehman?
Alfred Kaminu.
What's Lehman's first name?
Jake.
Jake Lehman. He's our starting small forward. He was playing very well. And then Alfred Kaminu and Mo Harkless and Evan Turner. Evan Turner wasn't making his threes, but he doesn't have a three-point shot. But Mo Harkless and Alfred Kaminu were making their threes, which is really key. And Evan Turner was like, when Dame wasn't on the court, I'm pretty sure like they still had a good offense with Evan Turner.
Yeah, Evan Turner was sort of going back to that role that we saw him play. I guess I wasn't really watching basketball at this point, but like he played on the Celtics back a few years ago as sort of like a sixth man role, where he would come off the bench and play big minutes and really keep the offense alive. And I think that's something that's very important for the Trailblazers team, who historically, like over the course of the last few years, I mean, has been very, very top heavy. So the offense that Evan Turner has been providing off the bench is vital to this team's success.
Also, I think Zach Collins can keep up his production. He's been playing to the point where you ask yourself, is Yusuf Nurkic expendable?
Yeah, I agree.
What's his contract? Does he have a high contract? I feel like they paid him $25 million or something.
He's definitely getting paid quite a bit.
Maybe 20. I don't know. I may have made that up. But suddenly Yusuf Nurkic is expandable. Oh shoot! Yeah, I did make that up.
40, yeah, yeah. 40 or 48.
40 or 48. That's a good deal. I was about to say. If they gave him that Steven Adams money, that would be bad.
Yeah, but that's a long time, right? So that's 4 years to commit to Yusuf Nurkic, who's a very like solid center, but like
very average. But
yeah, but he doesn't bring great defense. Yeah. I think for a Trailblazers team, like I think that
he can't shoot the three. Exactly. But Zach Collins has shown he can be average, like Joel.
And Zach Collins, I think, is moving towards sort of more of the futuristic NBA big. But really, on a Trailblazers team, I don't think the offense is the problem here. I think that more like they need more defenders. Like we've seen Al-Farouq Aminu be one of their most important role players, not only because he's developed like a semi-consistent jump shot, but like because he can switch to a lot of different positions on defense.
I would argue that, is there a cap on how good your defense can be if you start Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and Yusuf Nurkic?
I totally agree. Right. So yeah,
their wing players can defend.
Now I don't think. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Zach Collins is gonna. Looks like he's gonna be a great defender. Like
I think he's been better than Nurkic.
Really? Yeah, okay. So I'm wrong there. But I mean, like, if Zach Collins is a guy who who's sort of more of a futuristic big offensively, and that he can shoot and spread the floor. Maybe not like bully players inside as much as Yusuf Nurkic, but or maybe like be as great of a rebounder, but like bring solid defense and spread the floor. That's kind of what you need as for the Trailblazers right now. But like we sort of going back to the main topic of like the playoff race, if maybe some of their role players can continue to contribute the way that they have been, then this team could definitely stay afloat towards the top of the Western Conference. But if not, I would not be surprised at all to see them sort of dip back down to be towards the bottom of the playoff race, but like still hanging on, right? And they could fall out, but I would expect them to stay in.
Okay, I'm looking right now at the seeds 1-14, mm-hmm. and I really see kind of three teams. I didn't really think of the Trailblazers when I was looking at this, but I see three teams that kind of don't have the talent.
Yeah,
to where I see them being like, hey, roster-wise, you're one of the top eight teams in the West. For these three teams, I have the Clippers, which I think is the best of these three teams. The Mavericks, who are sitting at the 9 seed,
mm-hmm.
and the Kings, who are sitting at the 11 seed. However, the Kings are only 2 games back of the Lakers, who are the 4 seed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Like, we're recording this on a Thursday. By Monday, this video could... Or this podcast could be
totally
be,
different.
Yeah, it could be very different. But yeah, I think the Kings, the Mavericks, and the Clippers don't have the pure talent on their roster, especially the Mavericks and the Kings. With the Clippers, I think
they
were the one seed. It was they were taking the league by storm. If by the All-Star break, I want to ask this question: if by the All-Star break the Clippers are like the 4 seed or something, is Tobias Harris an All-Star?
Yeah, he's got to be in the conversation.
He definitely has to be in the conversation. Like, but I don't know if his production is going to be as good as these other guys, because there are so many spots. Mm-hmm. Like, think of last year.
So many players that could fill the spots.
That could fill the spots.
Yeah.
Because think last year, the Western Conference had all these guys in the All-Star game, and you still had guys left out: Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell. You have LeBron now.
Ben Simmons.
No, that's the Eastern Conference.
Oh, but I mean, it's not Eastern and Western Conference. But it's still the same amount of Eastern and Western Conference. All right, my bad.
I'm saying, Western Conference. Well, you got rid of Kawhi. You still have DeMar, who I think would get a look over Tobias Harris.
That's probably fair, yeah.
So, yeah, those are just two guys who were left out last year who are arguably better players. I can't – it would look really weird to put Devin Booker over Tobias Harris in the All-Star game.
Maybe. But Devin Booker's gonna fill up the stat sheet more. So I mean, I guess it depends on like what you're valuing from your All Stars. So I agree with you though. Clippers are 3-7 I think in the last 10 games, if I'm looking at that correctly. So they're on a little bit of a slide since being the first seed, and because they don't really have one star, and I'm not sure they really know like on any given night who's gonna be the guy that they look to like put the ball in the basket, right?
Tobias Harris is averaging 21.5. I think Lou Will is also averaging something along those lines. But I remember I was talking to someone after we recorded our second ever episode, and I said that Tobias Harris was a better player than Lou Williams, and he disagreed. But I really don't think so.
I think he's
a more valuable player.
Especially because I think that Lou Williams is a very good scorer, but like outside of that, there's not so much he can do because he's small, so defensively he's going to struggle.
Yeah, and he's not that good of a facilitator in terms of playmaking.
Really, and, but yeah,
he's
exactly.
He's really a walking bucket, don't get me
exactly,
wrong.
Exactly, yeah. He's a walking bucket, and that's kind of it. Whereas I think Tobias Harris brings a little bit more diversity, and is also younger and has more room to improve.
Yeah.
Because we've seen Tobias Harris consistently get better every single season.
Yeah, so when looking at the Clippers compared to other teams, like Spurs, Rockets, Jazz even, Pelicans, Timberwolves, these are all teams that are below them. I think that the Clippers are a good roster, but they don't really have the star power. However, who am I to say? They were leading the league the Western Conference for a while there, because if you look at this roster, they just have a bunch of veterans who just know what to do and are just pretty good NBA players. You have just guys that just kind of fill their role very well, like guys like Patrick Beverley, Gallinari, even Boban has been playing not horrible.
Okay, Boban Marjanovic career leader in PER.
Okay, that doesn't mean that? Anything.
That's the I don't care. Like that doesn't mean like that much. I agree, it right? But if you look at the other,
it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but like that's just very surprising to me. If you look at like the other 10 players or the other 9 players in that list outside of him, they were all like superstars. There's like, you know, like some of the greatest players of all time, and like Boban Marjanovic is ahead of all of them. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean that Boban Marjanovic is the greatest player of all time, but obviously. Okay. But
yeah, just going back to this roster, you just have a bunch of guys who are good at what they do, and they're not necessarily specialists, but they're NBA vets who just are like guys you want on your team. You have Tobias Harris, Lou Will, Danilo Gallinari, Montrezl Harrell, we didn't even mention him,
but
he's been great.
He's been putting together a season.
Gortat has been okay. PBev, like I said, Avery Bradley, who's actually been a bad NBA player ever since he's gotten traded from the Celtics. But he can play defense. Luke Mbah-Mute. All guys who are like good.
I think that while the Clippers started off the season very strong, and we've seen them on a bit of a slide, I wouldn't be surprised to see them sort of like kind of side of the playoff race, maybe entirely. I don't see them like really bouncing back and going on a huge run. Yeah.
I just think they might get worn down when teams like the Rockets, maybe the Spurs, and the Jazz, Pelicans, and Timberwolves just kind of stop underachieving.
Yeah.
I just think they might just catch up to them just based off pure talent.
Yeah, I agree. And if that happens, because of the way that the season started, Tobias Harris and the other veterans in this team have shown that they can create wins. Tobias Harris, like you said, is filling the stat sheet, averaging something like 21. Mm-hmm. Does that make some of these guys like Tobias Harris maybe trade targets?
He's either I wouldn't say so, unless you have a team that just is offering the Clippers
a lot
of picks.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you're a team that's maybe trying to make a push to make the playoffs or something, like
I wouldn't really expect that.
Yeah, but I'm not even sure.
The Clippers are gonna have 2 spots for a max contract this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Tobias Harris wants one of those spots.
Is he a free agent this summer?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's gonna get his back.
He's been traded something like 4 times in his first like 6 years.
Yeah,
in the NBA, which I find hilarious.
Mm-hmm. All right,
good for him.
Yeah. All right.
Also, I want to talk about the Mavericks.
Yeah. All right.
They're the 9 seed right now. I just don't think they have it. They're arguably their best player is a rookie. You also have some solid guys like Wesley Matthews, who's also like horribly inefficient. DeAndre Jordan's a good role player,
but he hasn't looked like one of the best centers in the league or anything.
Well, but he hasn't looked like that for like 2 years. But I just don't think they really have it. I think as the sample size gets bigger, they'll stray from like the general median or whatever. I don't know.
So yeah,
we learned in math.
I agree. I mean, I think they came out of the gates blazing, sort of shocking the world because Luka was just playing so great, and I think that he will continue to do that. But as a rookie who's gonna have off games and then some games where he just sets the world on fire, like it's. There's going to be inconsistencies. You're going to take some bad losses, and you're going to have some very surprising wins. And a team like that is going to have a tougher time making the playoffs than just a team that's very consistent in their and how good they are.
However, Rick Carlisle is a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that
will
keep them afloat for another, 15 games.
The King or the Mavericks are going to fall off the face of the earth. But I think that it's going to be harder for them to make all of a sudden a push where they win 10 straight games than it would be for another team
I think they might fall off the face of the earth in relation to the West. Because if you lose like 5 out of 7 games in the West, that's considered falling off the face of the earth because everyone else won 5 out of 7 games.
You're not wrong. I mean, that's kind of true. So would you say right now the Spurs are sort of right on the fringe of the playoffs or the 8th seed? Would you? I know you said before the season that you thought they were going to miss the playoffs. Will you stick by that?
Is Murray out for the year?
I think so. I'll look.
I think he is. Yeah, that point guard situation has been a bit iffy. I think Bryn Forbes has stepped up a little bit. DeMar's improved on his playmaking. They've looked okay. I think the fact that they're 17-15 can greatly be attributed to Greg Popovich. And I think Rudy Gay has been more efficient this year, which I think was good. Otherwise, I would say the Spurs, I think they're kind of going to keep on keeping on, be one of those like slightly above 500 teams, but in the West, that might get you a 9 mm-hmm. seed. So I don't really know.
Yeah. DeJounte Murray tore his ACL, so after the season.
Yeah, okay.
So the Spurs, I think we can agree, like, might be a team that could fall off, but like
it's hard to predict.
It's hard to count Pop out left. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Kings. Then the Kings. I actually think the Kings that as a team that could like sort of maybe
they're 16 be or 15, in competition, which is awesome. I know, so happy for them
because the thing is the Kings are 16 and 15 and they're the 11th seed. So I had the Kings is not a team that could sort of fall out of the competition, but the team that could sort of get back into it just by like being a team that's a little bit above 500 that should make you in playoff competition normally. Like.
I don't think they have the talent. I think they're just too young. I think De'Aaron Fox mm-hmm. has been playing great and stuff, but I think Buddy Hield might just stop making all of his shots.
That's true. He's had a very good start.
I think I said this name wrong.
You're relying?
Bjelica. I think he might just stop making all of his shots.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And also, you have to think about Marvin Bagley while he's not starting. They're still playing him something like 20, 25 minutes a game. Like I said for Luka, like relying heavily on a rookie is just not that consistent of a thing. And also like De'Aaron Fox, who's been probably their best offensive player, is also like a second year guy. Buddy Hield is like third or fourth year guy. Like
I don't think they've arrived yet. Good for them. I'm very happy that this is
so promising. Like just more than anything, like this is where
the sun should be, in my opinion.
Maybe. I mean, like it just shows you that like in a couple years, like how good this Kings team could be when all of these guys are really like hitting their stride and have become like experienced NBA players.
Also, I'm pretty sure they don't have their draft pick this year. I'm pretty sure.
So they're not gonna tank. Yeah. They're gonna go all out. Yeah.
So you're playing for something.
Mm-hmm.
You're not playing for your draft pick.
I think I would predict that the Kings won't make the playoffs just because the West is so competitive.
I just think they'll run out of gas.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think that it's hard for a young team that started off the season so well to really keep it up. But we'll see. We're hoping I speak for both of us that I hope the Kings continue to play very well and be a pleasant surprise. Other teams that could make their way sort of higher up the rankings.
Rockets.
Yeah.
They're 16-14 right now, and they are like being 16-14, that's like barely above 500, which is underachieving for the Rockets. But that 16-14 record includes 7-3 in the last 10 games.
Yeah.
And they're on a four game win streak?
I don't know. I think it's five.
Five. So yeah, they've been James Harden has been playing like the reigning MVP that he is.
Yeah.
Great for him. I'm very happy.
Five game win streak.
And I think I want the Rockets to be back. Just I like the way their team is built.
Yeah, and last year I also think, at least for me, like last year the Rockets were one game and like one CP3 injury away from beating the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. So like over the course of the last couple of seasons, the Rockets have looked like the closest thing to the Warrior stopper that we've seen. So I want to see them back partially for that reason. I don't think that they would beat the Warriors in a 7-game series this year just because they've been much more shaky in general, but it's still just like another team to stand in the Warriors' way if they're back.
We all want the Rockets to be good enough to challenge the Warriors.
Not even that. Like, if the Warriors won the finals, I'd be upset or something. I just want to see
good competition.
I don't want to see the Warriors sweep the playoffs. Give me some like 7-game series where the Warriors have to work for it.
Yeah,
more than anything.
Like last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I think they could be doing this if James Harden continues this streak, and also if they just start making their shots. I still think they need to make a trade, like what the Wizards just did.
They need to get
a competent wing.
They need their 3-and-D wings.
Besides PJ Tucker,
the Rockets, as we've seen over the course of the last couple of years, have been so reliant on their 3-and-D wings. Yeah, and they're relying so heavily on PJ Tucker right now.
But right now,
they need another PJ Tucker, and they don't have that.
They don't have any other talent on the wing position.
They're relying on PJ Tucker as like like he's a star or something, right? Yeah. Which like he's a very important and useful role player, but like not something that's irreplaceable. So they need something.
I think they could trade for someone in a few weeks or a month or something.
Yeah,
for someone like Kent Bazemore. I know he's overpaid. Someone like Kent Bazemore, Kelly Oubre would have been someone nice, except he's young, so his value would be too high for what they would want. Maybe like someone along the lines of last year's Damari Carroll, because Damari Carroll like is suddenly bad again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what something a, along right, that
think
line.
About, think about this. We just sort of talked about Joe Harris before the episode. I'm just thinking about like Joe Harris is like has been one of the best like shooters this in the league this year. Like for some reason,
would he?
Are you
would,
saying as would, like a as like a, as something like I that would fit on the Rockets? I think he's a shooting guard
though. I don't know how tall he
is. But there's no reason that you couldn't like play him off the bench as just another shooter. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like I don't know. Like just another player like that who's just like a plug and play.
Joe Harris is 6'6". I think maybe you could get away with that playing small forward.
And I don't think that Joe Harris is like actually a great defender. But I'm just thinking like another like lethal shooter would be very useful for this team.
Also,
but I'm in their defense. 26 3-pointers last night.
Yeah, so that was insane.
Maybe we're honestly, wrong and they don't need it.
I commented this on like Bleacher Report or something under our Space the Floor account. Follow at Space the Floor podcast on Instagram, by the way. I basically said, we all know the Warriors are going to break it next week. I'm pretty sure that happened last time. Either when the Rockets broke it last year, then the Warriors broke it.
Did the Cavs break it one time? That was the playoff record, though, I think.
When the Cavs, the Warriors, or the Rockets, one of them broke the three-point record. One of the other two teams broke it, I think, within like four games or something last year. I feel like that's just going to happen. The Warriors are just going to say, like, screw it and just go out and get like 28 threes or something like that. Just one night. Just why not?
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to incorporate this new segment that we could do every week. Basically, just this like Insta post of the week where we just describe this Instagram post that we saw on Instagram about some asset, some facet of the NBA.
Yeah.
And to say if it's like BS or not and just give our thoughts. Today's one comes from at B-Ball Realm on Instagram. And it says, it's just a picture of James Harden and says, proving the hater is wrong featuring James Harden. And there are two kind of things that people usually say.
Yeah.
And he gives two responses to it. The first one is that people say, quote, he only scores a lot of points because of free throws. And his response to this is that he's a top three player this season in terms of points per game without free throws incorporated, only behind Curry and LeBron.
Yes,
I don't know. I don't know if that's factual behind Curry or LeBron. I know it was. I thought I saw him at second on another post recently, but I know that's true. He's in the top three.
I would argue though, like whether it doesn't even really matter. Like okay, where he places without free throws, but like. I'm a little bit tired of people saying like, oh, I don't like James Harden because all of his points are in free throws. Like, you have to have respect for the guy because he draws so many free throws. I think
he could be the GOAT at drawing
fouls. Exactly. Like that is something that's not like a negative towards his game. That's like a positive. The way in which he is able to always get a call, just manipulate his body midair, you know, sort of just like twist, stick an arm here, there. Like, I don't even know what it is about it, but like, he seems to just draw fouls at will.
And
even if you don't like to watch that, which I don't really like to watch it, like it's kind of a little bit like it slows down the game and like you'd rather see just like clean basketball, I guess. It's still like that's part of how he wins games, part of how he scores points. And it's just like that's part of his game. That's part of what he does so well and what makes him one, like a consistent MVP candidate.
Yeah, and even if people want to say that, I think that's a good response by B-Ball Room because
that's a fair defense.
By the way, Giannis, who he might be leading the league in points, I'm not sure. He's top three.
Mm-hmm.
He on this list I saw in a different post, he's like number 10 or something.
So you could maybe say that less. About Giannis more than James Harden, I guess.
Yeah, definitely, which is very interesting.
And to be fair, like Giannis is so dominant inside that. At times, like you just kind of have to hack him, otherwise it's two easy points. And sometimes it's two easy points plus a free throw instead.
Okay, B-Ball Realm's hater line number two, quote, he can't play defense. The factual response that he says to this is James Harden is averaging 2.2 steals per game and 0.5 blocks per game, plus holding opponents to under 40% from 20 feet or over.
This is definitely the more flawed response.
I showed this to you before the episode. This is, I think this is very stupid because every part about this is stupid. He has three parts: the steals per game, the blocks per game, and the percentage from 20 feet or over. The first part about this is stupid, talking about steals per game. Steals per game does not equal good defense. Mm-hmm. Klay Thompson, everyone you ask would say, is a better defender than Stephen Curry. Klay Thompson, for the past like 5 years, has averaged one steal per game, and Stephen Curry, for the past 5 years, has averaged two steals per game. That doesn't really equate like a good defender with steals. That's not really a thing. James Harden, this is unrelated to this post, kind of, but I think what he's trying to say with the blocks per game is that, oh, he's like strong, he's a presence on the inside. One, that doesn't matter for guards. The only relevant shot blocking guard in the NBA is probably John Wall or like someone like Dwayne Wade back in his day, but 0.5 blocks per game, that's just kind of stupid. James Harden is a good post defender, but that's not what this is trying to say. Last thing, talking about holding opponents to under 40% from 20 feet or over, that's league average, right?
Yeah, because we talked about this. I think the
NBA three-point line is 21.75.
I thought it was 23.
Oh, yeah, 23.75. Yeah. So that's like either long twos, which is the inefficient shot to begin with, or threes, which league average is like 35% or a little bit less.
Just inside the three-point arc, twos are like the most inefficient shot in basketball.
Yeah,
like,
and a lot of the times they're taken out of desperation because no one wants to take them. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking about threes, a phenomenal three-point shooter in the NBA shoots like 39%.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's also under 40%.
League average is like not much over 30.
Yeah, you could.
So like, the fact that James Harden is holding his opponents to 40% from over 20 feet. That's like not saying that much.
Yeah, that's just saying he's not like the worst defender in the NBA.
Like if anything that's like kind of average, like it maybe even a little bit below average.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 40%, that might be a little bit high.
Yeah, I just think that's kind of dumb. So I'm kind of going with a denial on this second point.
Yeah, so I think we can agree that like the first hater line, his defense for James Harden, pretty valid. The second one,
stupid,
kind of tripping. All right. Do you think? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all right. So this is going to be a little bit of, I think, of a longer episode. We're going to go really, really quickly over the Eastern Conference play average.
I only want to really ask one question. I don't want to spend the whole time on the Eastern Conference. I would say, are the Pacers real? Because they are currently tied for the three seed, or half a game behind the three seed, and ahead of the Celtics, and they have been playing well. I think they beat Toronto by like 20 or something without Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
I think they are kind of the real deal, and I think they'll get past the first round, especially with the Cavs gone.
I agree. I think that they are the real deal. I don't think they'll finish as a top four seed because I think that the Boston Celtics will pick it up in the remainder of the season. They've sort of started to figure things out. They're 8-2 in their last 10. This is the Celtics. So I would assume that because they've been so hot recently, that the Celtics would. That means they were 10-10 before these last 10 games. So I would assume the Celtics would pass out the Pacers. I think that they might even get higher than that. So the top four seeds will probably be Toronto, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and Boston. Not in that order, something like that. I think that Indiana will still finish at number five because I don't think...
I think they'll be a close five with the Bucks. I think the Sixers.
Yeah, okay.
The Sixers at probably the four seed.
So you think there's a chance that the Pacers pass out the Sixers?
Yeah.
Right.
I think so.
I think I would disagree with that just because I think that the Sixers start to mess with Jimmy Butler better, that I think they'll continue to get better.
That's valid. That's valid. I just think the Pacers are just such like a well-built team. Everyone knows what they have to do. They have a superstar. They have an all-star.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would call Oladipo a superstar. They have a bunch of guys who are just very good at what they do, kind of like the Clippers. But
DeMontis Sabonis has really stepped up the season.
Yeah, Miles Turner has been stepping it up offensively. You have wings like McDermott, Bogdanovich.
Yeah.
Guys like Kylo Quinn, who were phenomenal on our Knicks team, aren't getting minutes.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting. Tyreek Evans isn't even getting that much minutes with Darren Collison.
And I think also part of it is like the teams below them, like the Magic, Hornets and Pistons. Like, while the Pistons have looked very good, like, Blake Griffin is playing out of his mind right now. The best season he's had in years. I don't think any of those three teams are really going to be serious contenders to those top five that we just mentioned.
Yeah, no one's catching them.
So, and Washington looks like maybe they will start to be playing better. I think they're making a push to start winning games again with this Trevor Ariza trade, but
it's really a wild card. Yeah. I don't think anyone can really guess.
And even so, like the Wizards are 12-20 right now, so it would be very hard for them to pass out the Pacers going forward.
Yeah, I do not see that happening.
So maybe I think the Pacers might be playing a little bit better than they will play the rest of the season, but their spot as a top five seed in the East is probably very safe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thank you for listening to this episode of Space the Floor NBA Podcast. We hope you enjoyed. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a review and thanks for listening. And if you're listening on YouTube, like this video and subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. That'd be dope. Follow us on Instagram at Space the Floor Podcast and on Twitter at Space the Floor. And we hope you enjoyed. My name is Connor Gielan.
And I'm Connor Flannery.
And see you next time.
Peace.